1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. We are following two big stories this hour, including the situation at Columbia University, which is now suspending students for ignoring an order to clear campus amid pro-Palestinian protests. But first, we have the latest on a deadly shooting in Charlotte. Here's Police Chief Johnny Jennings.
There were three members of the U.S. Marshals Task Force who were pronounced deceased, and there were four CMPD officers who were shot, one being in critical condition, who is now in the hospital.
Officers had been serving a fugitive warrant when shooting started. He says a shooting suspect is also dead.
We're staying out here.
Student protesters at Columbia now risk getting suspended after ignoring a deadline from the school today to clear tents from campus. School spokesperson Ben Chang.
Students who agreed to leave and sign a form committing to abide by university policies will be allowed to complete the semester. Students who do not will be placed on suspension, ineligible to complete the semester or graduate.
Outside the school's gates,
this has everything to do with Jew hatred, nothing to do with free and Palestine.
Protests are growing, with members of the Jewish community now weighing in. At the University of Texas at Austin, police in riot gear arrested several protesters today. Students were also cuffed at the University of Georgia and Virginia Tech. And this comes as the U.S. pushes for Hamas to agree to a new ceasefire with Israel. Secretary of State Antony Blinken calls it generous.
In this moment, the only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire is Hamas. They have to decide, and they have to decide quickly.
CBS's Robert Berger.
Israel is offering a ceasefire of several weeks in exchange for the release of 33 Israeli hostages and hundreds of Palestinian prisoners, possibly up to 1,000.
Cleanup continues today following a series of devastating tornadoes in Oklahoma. This woman's in hard-hit Sulphur.
My husband said, run, grab the dogs, get in the interior room. It was about a count of 3, 2, 1 after we closed that bathroom door that it hit the house.
The storms killed at least four people there, and that same system's now threatening millions along the Gulf. The CDC says at least three women have now contracted HIV from vampire facials. The beauty trend involves a blood draw that extracts platelets, which are then injected back into a patient's face. And a 46-year-old man battling cancer won that massive $1.3 billion lottery prize earlier this month in Oregon.
I cannot win it. I can win it. But I didn't think I was going to win this big.
Fourth biggest Powerball prize in history. He says he plans to use it on chemo treatments. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Health officials are reassuring people that pasteurized milk from Wisconsin is safe to drink. Dairy cows in other states have come down with the bird flu in recent weeks, but so far there are no reports of bird flu in Wisconsin. In the meantime, dairy farmers are urged to be on the lookout and let health officials know if they have any sick animals. The most conservative U.S. House Republicans may try to remove Speaker Mike Johnson from his post this week. Wisconsin's Brian Stile is against the idea.
It'd be a distraction. What we need to be focused on is the issues of the day. It'd be disappointing if any of my colleagues bring that forward, and hopefully we can keep Speaker Johnson in his job.
Stile speaking with WISN-TV's Upfront. The Republicans' right wing is unhappy with Johnson over the foreign aid package that passed last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Bucks lose again in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks already shorthanded with no Dame, no Giannis. Then in the first quarter, Bobby Portis ejected from the game after slapping a Pacers player, Doc Rivers.
You know, it doesn't matter how long you're in the league, you can still learn. All of us can. It'll probably be a lesson for Bobby. Playoff games are high emotion. They really are. So that happened, and, you know, you can't get it back once it happened.
The Bucks losing to the Pacers, 125-113. Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Pacers lead the series 3-2. 1. Baseball, the Brewers open a series at home tonight against the Rays. Milwaukee losing to the Yankees 15-5 yesterday. NFL, the Packers drafting another 11 players to add to an already young roster. Do game plans need to be simplified for a younger team?
Yeah, I would say so. Probably from an offensive standpoint. You know, obviously you got a new defensive staff for the most part, so there's going to be some learning along the way.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low near 40. Tomorrow, early sunshine, then a chance of showers and storms in the late afternoon and evening. A high near 70, and mostly sunny in upper 60s for Wednesday. Another chance of rain with a few embedded thunderstorms moves in Wednesday night, Thursday into early Friday. It's 55 right now.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, next time on the big show, join us as we take a look back at the White House Correspondents' Dinner and President Biden's remarks and ask you, what's worse? Call in, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It's gonna be May.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. I like that version better, Luke.
I found it on the fly, Pete.
I don't know.
Do you?
It's nice.
Do
okay.
You? All right, we can make a change, maybe, man. Something was not where I thought it was going to be, so welcome to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
it's perfect.
Folks.
It's perfect. That is the voice of Luke Mathers, who is producing tonight's show. I am in Madison tonight. So great to be here, and so great to have you with me on this Monday night edition of Nightlight. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I had a long weekend. I was off Friday night, and I'm a little, I'm not used to having a three-day week. I can't even remember the last time I had a three-day weekend. So, a lot of people think we should always have three-day weekends. We just did that as a question recently, but we won't get into that tonight. It's great to be with you. Great to be here in Madison, Civic Media headquarters. And we're going to have some fun tonight. I got a good show for you guys. I got great guests. Conrad is on vacation, I should mention. Luke, he's on vacation or he's
He may be mourning his sons. Yeah, I don't I feel bad. I didn't get to talk to him about it because it happened over the weekend. But
how sad is that? He kept that from me.
Really? See,
I never knew he was a Suns fan.
He wears his son's basketball cap all the time.
Yeah, but he's got like tons of sports swag. I can't keep up. You know, he's got the and you know, I don't even when I see people his age, I don't think they're a fan. I just think they think that's cool swag. You know,
that could have been it. I asked him about it. I teased him because famously the Suns and the Bucks were in the NBA Finals in 2021.
That's
and
right.
I was like, I thought Conrad was a big fan of all Wisconsin sports, and not the case because I saw him wearing his Suns hat, and I was like, whoa. You're a Suns fan? And he's like, yeah, Wisconsin for everything except basketball. And they lost, and they got swept, actually. But I can't really talk because the Bucks are kind of on the ropes themselves.
They're on the ropes, aren't they? What is the deal? They have to win. They're down one, right?
They're down 3-1.
They're down 2. Okay.
Yeah, they're down two games already in a seven-game series. So it's not looking too hot for them. They got to win out. They got to win three in a row against the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, that's a tall order. So Conrad will be even more sad.
Yes, because you're going to have to jam-pack tomorrow's show when he's back, just with all of happy guests for Conrad so that he can not be too focused on basketball. Don't even mention basketball tomorrow.
Or I could just let him suffer and have some fun with it.
That works too. Never mind. Do that. That sounds like fun.
That's right. Conrad, we miss you, but you've left me in good hands here. Luke is phenomenal. It's good to be working with Luke again. This is our second show, Luke. We've done this before.
Yes, we have, and it was not in person though. It was fun and remote, and we had a great time. And I'm thrilled to be on the board, and I'm looking forward to tonight's show as well.
Likewise. And last time you said never again. I'm glad you've come around. And
never again just means a couple months, I guess.
Okay,
for me.
That's good. That works for me too. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwab is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison. I will be there next Tuesday night. We're doing a remote from the Minocqua Brewing Company, their new tap room on East Washington. That's a gorgeous spot. I'll be out there, so tune in, stop in, have a beer, whatever. Let's meet, let's talk. We'll talk some TV. We'll talk some progressive beer, whatever we need to do. Hey, if you also, I want to say, Luke, I just recently have been listening to the news podcast. It's so great. It's like at every... Nightlight is on statewide, so whatever station you listen to us on is totally fine, or if you use the app, whatever. But if you haven't checked out the news roundup, it's so great. It's at the top of every local radio station webpage on the Civic Media website, and it's great. You get news, weather, sports. I do Hollywood Minutes that are there. Sometimes they're funny or informative, but check that out if you haven't done that as well. So that's my guest tonight. I'm very excited, Luke. I got Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. He's going to be here to talk about the Wisconsin Film Festival. Matt has also been talking a lot about Top Chef, which I know you've been watching.
I have been.
Yeah, set in Wisconsin here. How is that? I'm not a reality show guy. I've been getting my information secondhand.
See, when you call it a reality show, then I kind of shrivel up because I'm not a big fan of reality shows. Yeah. Like, that's not my thing. But I've watched every single episode of every single season. So
No kidding.
Yeah, I love Top Chef. I'm a big fan of food competition shows.
Wow.
So the Food Network, Top Chef on Bravo, like big, big fan. And so my wife, back when we first started dating, we got into Top Chef, and I've seen every single episode. So when last year it got announced it was coming to Wisconsin, I was like, yes, this season is for me. Like, Top Chef.
Oh my gosh, that's
fan.
Awesome.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's been a really interesting season to watch, and it's been great to be able to be on any time when there's national television.
Yeah.
You're like, I've been there. And
absolutely.
It's fun.
I think Wisconsin's getting a better reputation for food anyway. I think with shows like Wisconsin Foodie and Top Chef, Milwaukee's got some great restaurants here in Madison. Like, I'm not necessarily a foodie, but I love the way you said that too. Like, you're not a reality guy,
yeah.
But I remember getting into, and it's kind of a hostage situation when you have kids, but my daughter was really into the show Cupcake Wars. So I'm like, I guess I'm watching Cupcake Wars. And I loved it because I was watching it with her. So that's really cool that you and your wife could do that. Where are they now with Top Chef? Where is in the season? Where is it?
So they're, I believe, 6 episodes in. They've so far done, they kicked off in Milwaukee, and they've done a trip out to Spring Green for Taliesin, Frank Lloyd Wright, and did a whole episode focused on him and architecture and how it related to food.
Oh, nice.
They did one here on the square for the Dane County Farmers Market. They've done a cheese. They went out to a barn, and then because this was recorded middle of last summer, they had an episode about cheese, and it was done outside at a little cheese fest that they threw on, an ode to Summerfest and all of the other great festivals on the Milwaukee's lakefront, and it was like 100 degrees out. It was not easy to compete in that weather. So they've done a number of things. I believe they've done the Supper Club, an ode to a Supper Club, and I'm blanking on what's coming up next, but Door County is in the future, I know.
Oh, nice.
They've teased that Door County is going to be featured, and just a lot of great Wisconsin bar, Miller, and the Miller Brewery was featured with some bar food. Very, very Wisconsin.
That's
Wisconsin
so cool.
Season. It's a lot of fun to watch.
I can't get past hot weather and cheese, though. Those are two things.
Yeah, this is tough.
I just don't need
it's
to
tough.
Think about Robert is already checking in on the text line from McFarland. Howdy, Pete. Hey, Robert. He says burgers. I guess that's all that needs to be said. Thank you, Robert.
There you go.
Robert is a... Robert texts enough that I'm starting to get in a sync with him, and I kind of know what he's thinking before he texts. So I don't know if that creeps you out, Robert, but keep him coming.
I think maybe burgers are coming next on Top Chef, then?
That's
I don't
probably
know.
What he
maybe.
Meant. That's what I mean. He kind of knows, and he must have, like, he must TiVo everything or something because he's very in the loop on all this stuff. So Matt Miller will chime in about Top Chef, too. He is on at 7:35. Civic Media's Melissa Kay worked on an independent film And she also is the news director at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids here at Civic Media. And she, Melissa's so great. She's done community theater, and now she's like, I want to tell you about this independent film. So she's coming out at 8:05. We'll talk to Melissa about that, find out what she's watching. And then my old buddy, John Caponera, stops by at 8:35. John does, I don't even remember where you ever do that? Like you read the news and you can't remember where you read something, but
oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's the 100th or the anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game or something involved with that. But John used to do a great joke about the coach getting into the locker room and Chamberlain's got like 70 points and the coach is like, all right, who's guarding Chamberlain? No, anyway, so John will be here at 8:35. John and I played wiffle ball. John's manager was a guy named Rick Messina who also managed Tim Allen and Drew Carey. He had more money than he knew what to do with. So he bought the house next door and he built a wiffle stadium. And it's like dude fest. Rick never married. John's wife used to call it Guyana because it was just all guys on Sundays watching football, smoking dope, playing wiffle, whatever the guys were doing. Rick had everything. He had cool mist blowing in the dugouts. So when you're waiting to go up to bat with a wiffle bat, you could be refreshed. And we had great, just so much fun out there. We had these tournaments where we played phenomenal wiffle ball teams that toured all over the country. The Anderson brothers from St. Louis, we squared off against them in a 9/11 charity game, and it was really fun. And I don't know if John remembers that, but John was very integral in that. And he had his own sitcom for a while, and he's just a phenomenal comedian, originally from Chicago, now based out in L.A., but John will be here at 8:35, and I'm very much looking forward to talking to John, as I am all my guests tonight. This is also, over the weekend, I think it was Sunday, was National Superhero Day. So I thought, That's a great question. I'm not huge into superhero movies.
Oh, come on.
I know. I like.
Come on.
Batman.
We're in the golden era of superhero movies, Pete, and you're not that into them?
I should like them, shouldn't I?
No, you don't have to. I'm a proponent for everybody's got their own thing. You don't have to like everything.
No, that was very emasculating, Luke.
But for me, I love me a good superhero movie.
Who's your favorite superhero? That's tonight's question. Who is your favorite superhero and why?
Captain America, hands down.
Nice.
Pursuing liberty and justice for all of us. The Captain
America. For the 1%.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, yeah, he's not necessarily. None of them are perfect.
No, I know. No, he's a good one. And I like those movies.
I just like the Shield, too. The Shield was great.
Does he have a weakness?
I mean, he is technically still mortal.
Just a guy.
So, yeah, he's one guy, but with super serum. And so, kind of, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like the regular guys. I love Batman. I love the Christopher Nolan Batmans.
Dude, speaking of the 1%, though, you're gonna hit me with 1%, then you want the billionaire that can give themselves all those utility belts and stuff? Come
Luke,
on.
He was born into it. We don't pick our parents. Bruce Wayne had no say.
That silver spoon was there.
He used it as a weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Turned it into a little batarang or whatever those were called.
That's right. No, that's I would say probably Batman. Would be mine. And Superman as a kid. But now I like the regular dudes that just throw it all on the line. And I wrote a screenplay years ago about a guy who had a midlife crisis and just decided he's going to be a superhero. And he fights crime and he's bad at it. And he gets his butt kicked and he takes a beating, but he stops crime. And that's what I think a superhero is, a regular guy standing up for what's right.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. So that's our question tonight. Who's your favorite superhero and why? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Always like to hear what, as you guys know too, you can text regardless of what we're talking about. Love to get your thoughts throughout the show. There are no rules to this. I'm in a new studio. That's the music. Okay. Hey, coming up next, more silliness here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from Madison. Luke Mathers is riding shotgun. We got a fun show. Stick around.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If it seems you are being asked to donate pretty often these days, Lisa Schiller with the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau says you probably are, and she's hearing from residents about it.
They're getting aggressive calls, they're getting mailers in the mail asking for donations, and they want to know where their money is going.
Schiller says ask questions and understand the difference between a political action committee 527 and a nonprofit charity.
You have to really pay attention to name confusion. The use of the words police and firefighter, veterans, cancer. The name of the organization does not necessarily mean that the charity is engaged in these issues. And I think that's the important thing to remember.
Find more information at BBB.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Superhero Day. If you didn't know, the music should tip it off. National Superhero Day. And we're trying to find out who your favorite superheroes are and why. You know what? Let's open this up. You don't even have to guess a Marvel or a DC Comics guy either. You got a superhero in your life, you can share it, even if it's not someone we've heard of. Could be the busted pencil guys. I don't know. Robert checking in says, I'm not easily creeped out, and I don't watch reality TV. He thinks it's creepy. Oh, my gosh. And then he put a little emoji that I don't know how to explain. He also says, Deadpool in the comics and movies. I haven't gotten much of a reason why. Maybe the suit. I have not seen the Deadpool movies, so I'm kind of late to the party on Deadpool. I don't have much of an excuse, but I'm with you on the reality. My only issue with reality TV is it's not realistic. It's a way to circumvent paying writers union wages. They tell people what to do most of the time. They set up scenarios. They basically write the scenes out and get people who aren't actors to act it out and call it reality TV. And I think I'm generalizing, but there are some shows that are more realistic than others. So I don't want to say all of them are like that, but a good number of them are. So I'm with you on that one, Robert. This is Jerry Seinfeld's birthday. Luke, did you watch Seinfeld?
I watched reruns of Seinfeld. Yeah. I don't want to date anybody, but I was very young. I was not watching Seinfeld. I was not the core demographic when it was on the air.
Look, I'm in my really extremely late 20s, and I still managed to watch Seinfeld, Luke.
You did.
I'm not
okay.
Saying
no. The congratulations, you were able to have get past your parents and the parental locks and the TV and stuff. Then that's awesome.
Yeah, I knew all the tricks. Jerry Seinfeld turns 69 today, and I cannot believe his show has already been off the air. Seinfeld, of course, I'm talking about. For 27 years, and it's still, in my opinion, probably the best show on network TV in terms of at least sitcom. But I thought, you know, we talk about Seinfeld quite a bit on this show because there's a lot of Seinfeld fans out there. I've had Don Rosen on from the WRJN morning show, who I called Jerry Seinfeld's best friend. They weren't best friends, but they grew up together to a certain age, and we talk about the show a lot. But now I've prepared a couple clips because I think we should just hear Jerry's stand-up and what kind of put him on the map. So on Jerry Seinfeld's 69th birthday, here's a little bit of stand-up from The Tonight Show.
I don't know what I'm getting in the supermarket. I read the ingredients. What? Have you seen may contain one or more of the following? There's some helpful information. What if it's important to you? What if you have diabetes? Does it have sugar? Maybe. We're not saying. Food, you can't think about food. It doesn't make any sense. McDonald's. What is with McDonald's? What is, anybody got a late tally on the McDonald's sign? 50 billion, 60 billion? Who cares? Put up McDonald's. We're doing very well. Make the sign. We're doing well. Okay? I don't need to know about every burger. Why do they count, past 60 billion? Is there any point in continuing to count? What is their ultimate goal? Do they want cows surrendering voluntarily, perhaps? Yeah. Gowers just come up to the door. We'd like to turn ourselves in. We see the sign. We know we have no chance. Slap the cuffs on. We want to be McDLT. But that's what's great about food. You see, you get that break. One part of your day, three parts, whatever, you get that little break. I like that break. Shower is my other favorite break in the normal day. 10 minutes, people can't find you, they can't bother, they don't know where you are. When you're in the shower, it's a great moment. You're in your house, people don't know where you are, they can't find you. If the phone rings, other people have to pick it up. No, we can't reach him, he's in the shower. No, he's 5 feet away, we can't communicate, we can't get a message, no one can do anything at this time. All we know is he's in there somewhere. And you get out of the shower, I can't talk now, I just got out. I was naked singing, rubbing myself all over, I have to readjust to reality here.
That's Jerry Seinfeld. Luke, I'm going to date myself here. Do you know what a McDLT is?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I do, but only because I forget if it was a clip that Jason Alexander did for joking about it. Like it refreshed after the fact. There's been a whole. Like as somebody that didn't watch Seinfeld while it was on the air, there's still a lot of content out there to learn about Seinfeld,
yeah.
and that was one of the things where Jason Alexander was kind of like, I regret doing that, I believe is what he said, or he had some kind of interview that he talked about his experience being the face of the DLT, right?
That's hilarious. Yeah. I don't remember that. Okay.
It's the lettuce and the tomato on one side, right? To keep it fresh or whatever.
Yeah, and I think it was basically like sirloin.
Okay.
You know, it was just a leaner cut of meat.
Okay.
That had no juice.
Very dry patty?
I thought so.
Yeah.
And
I've never tasted one.
You know what I had? Last week I had, this is funny, okay, I had a McLean because I was watching my weight, but I didn't give up McDonald's. I just got a McDLT. And then that was the same time New Coke came out. So I had a McDLT and a New Coke. At the same time, I had no idea I was making history in that moment in my Honda Civic heading out to do stand-up at some awful one-night gig. But, yeah, that was crazy. And last week was like the anniversary of New Coke, which was awful. So it's also Jay Leno's birthday was yesterday. But before we get to that, you know what? Let's save Leno. Let's save a little. Let's pace ourselves regarding comedy because it's going to be a long show and I got some good guests. I will say, driving down here today from the Marinette area where I live, what do you think of, Luke, when you think of the Subaru?
Reliable.
Yeah. Safe, right?
Yeah.
Do you equate it with any particular political party?
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Just growing up, you know, there's a certain demographic that's I'm aware of that maybe oversampled in the Subaru ownership. I don't know if it's true or not, but I know the stereotype of the joke.
But it exists, yeah.
Yes, but it's funny because one of my friends who works in construction, very, very big, tough guy, like he's a manly man.
Okay.
He drives a Subaru. My mom also drives a Subaru.
Right.
So I don't necessarily buy into that stereotype.
I don't either.
Okay.
Somebody created that probably as a way to frame an issue or whatever. I got cut off twice today on my drive down here by Subarus. So my opinion of Subaru drivers has totally changed. And I, you know, I try never to escalate when I drive. I don't want to flip anybody off. I don't want to, because if someone's cutting you off or flipping you off, I always feel like in this day and age, they've got a screw loose. Like when I was younger, I'd flip a guy off, not thinking, assuming he didn't have a gun or she, maybe. But now I do not mess around. I just say, thank you for flipping me off. And I try not to escalate, even though I want to get the guy in a headlock and wail on him. But two Subarus.
Two
I don't know
Subarus.
What to make of that.
Two different. Was it the same Subaru?
No.
It was two
separate Subarus.
Subarus. So you didn't get cut off by the same one twice. Just
no.
Okay.
That would be diabolical.
See, I think anybody that's cutting anybody off these days is just having a real bad day. And I just try to think of that. I'm like, you're having a real bad day and you're taking it out on me on the road. As long as everybody walks away from the incident, all right.
But you're not excusing the bad day and the cutting.
No. Okay. I just try to be, I try to think of where they're at and why they're doing it. It's my thing.
You're a good guy. You're a much better guy than Conrad. I got to be honest. Conrad is just nefarious. He's always out to second guess me.
He's crying behind the wheel of his Subaru, cutting people off because he's had a bad day because his Phoenix Suns got eliminated from
the
playoffs.
He saw me driving here and he said, that looks like Schwabba. Move! All right, when we come back, this is going to be fun. The Milwaukee Film Festival just ended. I'm going to talk to Matt Miller about it. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Special Report. In North Carolina, at least three law enforcement members are dead and five officers with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department have been wounded. Gunfire broke out as they tried to serve a warrant at an East Charlotte home today for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, Police Chief Johnny Jennings.
Something that's on the forefront of their thought process when you're going after Charlotte's most dangerous people. And unfortunately, today was something tragic.
Daniel Melendez lives nearby.
You could tell a lot of people were scared. A lot of people, it's like, I live in this neighborhood for 10 years, never saw this, never thought it can even happen.
Chief Jennings says of those who've died,
tragically, there were three members of the U.S. Marshals Task Force who were pronounced deceased.
A suspect is dead and two other people found inside the home are being questioned. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Republican National Committee wants protesters farther away from the party's national convention in Milwaukee. A lawyer for the committee tells the Secret Service that Pere Marquette Park would be problematic. City leaders won't confirm that's where the designated protest area will be. Protest organizers want to be closer to the convention's perimeter. The U.S. Supreme Court will decide whether patients have access to emergency room abortions in states where abortion is banned. Doctors say most patients who land in the ER with pregnancy complications don't have access to routine OBGYN care.
I see first trimester pregnant patients every single day in my shift. I have caught ectopic pregnancies that have ruptured.
Dr. Polly Wiltz is an emergency medicine resident. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're making weekend plans and are in Northeast Wisconsin or don't mind a short road trip, check out An Evening with John McGivern Friday night, April 26th at the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center. The host of Main Streets on PBS and former host of Around the Corner tells funny stories about his life growing up in Milwaukee in a big Irish Catholic family and his prolific show business career. Tickets can be purchased at TicketStarOnline.com. Quick fashion tip, if you appear on a podcast, don't go commando, especially if you're wearing baggy shorts. Travis Kelce and comedian Andrew Santino recently discussed Kelce's appearance on Santino's podcast a few years ago, where Kelce was literally hanging out. Santino and his editor decided not to reshoot, but just put a big Kansas City Chiefs logo over Kelce's ballular area. That's a medical term. Look it up. Kelce laughed as he recalled the incident, saying he had no idea at the time. Yeah, sure. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low near 40. Tomorrow, early sunshine, then a chance of showers and storms in the late afternoon and evening. A high near 70, and mostly sunny in upper 60s for Wednesday. Another chance of rain with a few embedded thunderstorms moves in Wednesday night, Thursday into early Friday. Right now, it's 53.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 7 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is ready for your next game day visit and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Brought to you by Old Spice. Men have skin too.
This is Bob.
Hello.
Bob knows self-care. Bob starts every day with a balanced breakfast. Bob exercises every day. Bob even does yoga. Bob thinks he's got everything covered. But you forgot something, Bob. Skincare. Men have skin too, Bob. So grab some Old Spice to complete the whole self-care package.
Brought to you by Old Spice Gentleman's Blend Body Wash, providing exfoliation plus 24/7 moisturization with daily use. Because men have skin too.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we'll get into the many ways rural Wisconsin could be harmed if a budget blueprint written by far-right lawmakers were to become law.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
hookah, shaka, hookah, 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 shaka, hookah, 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 shaka, hookah, hookah,
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize.
Welcome back. Robert says, can a show be the greatest with a horrible ending? I don't know if I'd call Seinfeld a horrible ending. I wouldn't say it was one of the best, Robert. But he also says Eddie Izzard sounds like Seinfeld. I wonder how Jerry would feel like that. He also says Subaru is the most popular car in Madison. Well, it's not with me today, Robert, because two of them cut me off. Very un-Subaru-like behavior. Coming up at 8:05, WFHR News Director Melissa Kay will talk about the independent film she worked on and went to a premiere recently. That'll be fun at 8:35. Comedian, actor John Campanaro. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome to the show an excellent reporter for onmilwaukee.com. He writes about all things entertainment, and he's always fun to talk to. And he joins us now here on Nightlight. It's Matt Miller. Hey, Matt.
Howdy, howdy. How you doing?
Good. Did I hear dogs?
Yeah, we got some puppos who have some feelings about movies.
Are they booked tomorrow night at 8:35? That's my question.
They are, but honestly, the audiences hate them. They're very much, they've got voices for TV.
Do not let the governor of South Dakota stay overnight. Oh. If you have a guest room, steer clear, pay the money for a Holiday Inn, Matt. That is my advice to you, buddy.
Yeah, I don't think she had an invitation here. So.
Good for you. Hey, before I ask you about the Milwaukee Film Festival, I want to ask you, I finally saw the entire film of Magnolia over the weekend.
Oh,
I've only seen it in bits and pieces. What do you make of that? What am I missing?
I think it's really great. I think it's a carrot. It's a very Paul Thomas Anderson movie. It's him taking a huge swing because that was his movie immediately after Boogie Nights, right? That was his follow-up to his breakout. And it is kind of a, I was the darling child and I've been given money by studios. I'm going to use this however I want. And it's the kind of thing we don't see much more of now with studio filmmaking, because now if you make like an indie movie that breaks out, you get given a Marvel movie or a Star Wars movie or, some sort of IP or brand or something like that. And back in the day, when you made something like that, the studios gave you a lot of money and they were like, make something else, make another interesting thing, not make us Jurassic World, make us Baywatch.
Yeah, I phrased that wrong. It's not that I didn't like it. I love, stories that interact and it keeps you guessing and all that. I liked all that. The frogs threw me, though. I was like, what in the hell is happening here? And I meant to Google it and find out what the meaning behind that was, but I didn't.
I don't think it has a meaning. I think it's just it ties in with the kind of biblical nature of the story, the kind of, grandiose tale that it is telling.
Yeah.
That it's just like it kind of melds into that world in a way that maybe doesn't fit, logically, but fits tonally in with the story.
Such a fun cast, too. It was fun.
A lot of people who now, we know John C. Reilly and we know all these, great actors. And also, that was arguably the last time Tom Cruise, that was in Tom Cruise's I Want to Work with Interesting Directors era.
He was great.
And if there's one thing that we've lost in the Mission Impossible stuntman Tom Cruise era, which I love, I'm a big fan of it. But we did lose the Tom Cruise actor. We did lose him giving himself over to directors and being like, I want to play an interesting character. Now he just plays Tom Cruise in every movie.
And it was great. He had a great arc in that, too, because he starts off as kind of such a D-bag. And then you see he's just like a kid when he's bawling next to Jason Robards. You're right. It was phenomenal. Although I liked him a lot in Collateral. I thought he was outstanding. Did you see that movie?
I want to say that's the last time that in arguably War of the Worlds. And then after the famous couch jumping incident, he kind of totally caved inward and was like, I'm a stuntman now. I'm a big screen movies guy. I'm not the same kind of actor I was. And that's not to say he hasn't delivered great performances. He's great in Edge of Tomorrow. He's great in Top Gun Maverick. I would have nominated for Best Actor for Top Gun Maverick.
Oh,
but
nice.
He's playing Tom Cruise. He is not falling into characters anymore. But we'll see what happens. I mean, he can't do the stunt stuff forever anymore.
I will say this, and maybe you and I have talked about this, Matt. I'm having some deja vu right now, but I think he is arguably the most successful movie star ever. But he's also a good actor. He can really act, but he delivers. I can't think of offhand a bad, like, usually when you go to see a Tom Cruise movie, you're entertained. It's decent, at least. Sometimes great. He makes very few clunkers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, a bad Tom Cruise performance. There was the first Nicole Kidman movie. I think it's called Far and Away, where he's, trying on, like, an Irish accent.
Yeah.
From, like, early 90s, late 80s, I think that was. I think that was a Ron Howard movie. That was, I think everyone was like, Tom Cruise, accents aren't his thing. Like, that's, it's like, you know, it's like Tom Hanks in accents. You know, he's not a big accent guy, generally speaking. Like, there's just something, there's some things people can't do. Like, Keanu Reeves in accents. Don't ask him to do it. Right. Not going
to
go well.
When Tom Hanks does the accent, I literally have to go like this occasionally when I'm watching. I kind of, okay. Like, when he does, like, a Boston accent, I've seen him in a couple movies where he's done Boston accents. I'm like, just be you. Not everyone in Boston talks like him, you know.
I think the only time it really worked for me was like the Captain Phillips one, and I think that was a lot of the filmmaking too in making me believe him as Tom Hanks.
Yeah, well said. All right, so I have not set foot into the Milwaukee Film Festival this year, Matt, so you are my liaison. They didn't invite me. My RSVP, I got lost in the mail, my invitation, but what did I miss? What did we all miss? It's such a great festival.
It was outstanding. 2 weeks of great movies. Saw some of the early best things I've seen this year, including the closing night film that was really terrific, an animated movie called Robot Dreams, which was actually nominated for best foreign film this past year. Not foreign film, animated film. And it was just, you know, a true charming movie that will absolutely gut punch you and emotionally just... a real roller coaster ride of a movie. Loved Robot Dreams. Hopefully that's coming back to theaters in June. I think that's when its actual release is happening, but we got a sneak preview. A very charming movie called Thelma with June Squibb, about a 93-year-old woman who gets phone scammed and then goes on a quest to get the money back. Really charming movie. Really, it kind of sounds like it could be like Sundance twee. Like it could be a little too like trying to be cutesy, but it's actually really charming, really funny. Really liked that one. Honestly, I didn't really see any Bowsers this year. It was all really terrific stuff. And like I said, and the best part is a lot of them you can see right now still. The Oriental and the Downer. Yes, the Downer's back open. Yeah. Are showing a lot of these movies again now for a best of fest. They're showing The Beast, which is kind of like Cloud Atlas meets David Lynch kind of situation. There's a one called La Camera about an archaeologist going on kind of a mystical fantasy kind of magical realism adventure. A lot of really great stuff to check out. And, you know, the festival's great. Keep going to the Oriental and Downer and to these neighborhood theaters. You know, they still need you to show up the other, you know, 52 weeks of the year or so.
Right. And the Downer is going to stay open, right?
Yeah, it's open right now. It is controlled by Milwaukee Film now, which is very exciting. They're looks like they're committing to indie movies for now. We'll see what happens when the summer comes around. Obviously, that's two more screens for them to play with, so they can get something like a The Fall Guy, but then also have stuff like La Camera, The Beast, Sasquatch Sunset. You know, they can take some risks because they have a few more screens to play with now.
Have you seen Sasquatch Sunset?
I haven't yet, unfortunately. I have heard really fun things about it. It seems like a movie that is designed to get a negative score from general audiences.
But it did, like on Rotten Tomatoes, it got pretty good scores, I think, if I remember correctly. And
I think so, yeah.
You have to kind of go into that going, I have no idea what to expect here, but I've read some stuff about it. It sounds like it has to be fun. You know,
it's an expectations thing. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, critics walk into movies and want to be surprised by stuff, want to see stuff they haven't seen before in a satisfying way. Audiences want to see exactly the movie they got sold. Generally speaking, that is what general audiences want. You know, there's a thing called CinemaScore, which polls people coming out of big releases, and they give them, you know, A, B, C, D, E, you know, not E, that's not a letter. Right. But, you know, and the movies that get Fs, the movies that get low scores are the ones that sell themselves as, you know, action movies when they're actually dramas. You know, Drive famously got sued because someone was like, I thought this was going to be a Fast and the Furious movie. And instead it was a drama. And it was like, well, the advertising worked then. It got you in the theater. Then meet the movie halfway, you know, see the movie see what the movie can give you. You might enjoy it.
Matt Miller is my guest from onmilwaukee.com. We're talking about the Milwaukee Film Festival and all things show business. Matt, while we're on the subject of like CinemaScore and Rotten Tomatoes, do you think critics nowadays are much more forgiving of movies? I cannot believe some of the scores I see. And maybe it's open to interpretation how you, because I do read some reviews where I go, that wasn't really totally positive, but they put it in the fresh category. Do you think people are more forgiving when they're judging movies, or am I just imagining things?
I don't know if it's more forgiving. I think they've kind of, you know, we've made movies kind of, you know, textureless and Teflon in a way. We, you know, they've all been focus grouped to death, and they've all, like, these big blockbusters all have, you know, these writer's rooms that are, you know, going through everything now. And it's really hard to make a blockbuster that has something disagreeable in it anymore, because it all gets worked out of the system. There's not a lot of personality. No one's going to make a Batman Returns anymore, which is such a Tim Burton movie, which is a gross, dark Christmas movie that Batman barely speaks in, that Batman barely feels like the main character in. They're not going to make movies like that anymore, unless it is, you know, something that they're putting a little bit of money into. Like Joker was, and I don't like Joker, but Joker is a movie that was allowed to take some creative risks because it wasn't made for that much money comparatively. I think that movie was made for like $70 million max, maybe. I think $50 million. So they were willing to take a risk on that. When you're making a The Flash, when you're making a Marvel movie, those things are so committee designed and so directed by the special effects and directed by the second units in a lot of cases. There's just not a lot of personality that creates things like the massive flops, you know? The ecosystem doesn't have room for that anymore.
Before I get to your summer blockbusters or what I'm going to ask you about them anyway, what at the Milwaukee Film Festival, what are the big award winners? They give out awards at Milwaukee?
They do. It's not like Sundance or like Toronto or something like that where the awards are really, you know, a big part of the show. Those awards are kind of, at Sundance, you want to win awards because you want to get picked up by a studio, picked up by a distributor, something like that. You want to build buzz for a hopeful release. And awards are really important for, you know, the Telluride and New York Film Festival and those kind of Oscar ones because you want to win awards going into Oscar season. You want to be building buzz going into your release, going into, you know, award season and critics awards nominations and stuff. The Milwaukee Film Festival, yes, it has awards with, you know, money amounts and stuff like that. But what really matters is that they're serving the community. They are serving movies on the big screen that Milwaukee, in many cases, wouldn't otherwise get. So the awards don't kind of have the same weight to them as, you know, as these other festivals, which is a very long way of me saying that, yes, they gave out awards, but no, I do not know off the top of my head what won.
The Ark of Oblivion looked kind of cool. You mentioned that as one of your three to see in one of your onmilwaukee.com articles.
Yeah, it's a super interesting movie. I think I maybe find the topic more interesting than the movie itself. The movie is maybe larded up with kind of quirky like you have this guy, the filmmaker doing voiceover, and he's got this like stuff with TVs, and he's wanting to build this Noah's Ark in the middle of the woods. And it's a little bit shticky in that regard, but it's asking these really interesting questions about archiving and why we save things and why we save things knowing that they'll probably get destroyed inevitably by time. And what are new ways of archiving things? And why do we keep them? What does it mean to, you know, have an archive and then to lose that archive? It was really interesting questions and an interesting documentary. I think that's the beauty of the Milwaukee Film Festival is you will always walk away with an opinion on a movie. You will always walk away with thinking about something, chewing on something. You are never going to walk away from a movie being like, well, that happened. I'm going to forget that I saw this 2 hours from now. You will always have something about
it. It's a great festival. All right, coming up next, I'm going to find out what Matt is looking forward to this summer. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
This Entertainment Insider is sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
Comedian Jerry Seinfeld is directing his first film called Unfrosted, a fictional tale about the origin of Pop-Tarts.
But I thought, what would be the least work? The least work is for me to just tell the actor how to say it instead of me telling the director. And then the director telling the actor, yes. It was so much fun.
See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
I grew up dreaming. Being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high riding hero.
90-year-old Willie Nelson.
I burned up my child.
That's not 90-year-old Willie Nelson singing. Pardon me, I did find out he got his black belt, fifth degree black belt, at like the age of 80. Matt, would you mess with Willie Nelson?
Absolutely not.
I wouldn't anyway, just because I think he's great. But
yeah, right? Like, who picks a fight with Willie Nelson? Like, that is a fight you lose. That's like telling the world you killed your dog. Like, no one is going to be excited about that.
Yeah, he's like one of the coolest guys ever. Great to have you with me, Matt. Matt Miller is my guest. We're talking movies and TV. Summer blockbusters are about to start. What are you looking forward to this summer? What are the big releases, and what are you most anticipating?
I think what's exciting about this summer is, inadvertently, because of the strikes last year and the kind of repercussions of that, we have kind of a unpredictable summer blockbuster season this year. This is a true story. If you leave out the kind of the COVID years of 2020 and 2021, the last time that the summer movie season did not begin with a Marvel superhero movie was 2006.
Oh my gosh.
That is the last time that May didn't open up, or essentially April, or with an Avengers movie. That this is basically the first time in almost 20 years that a Marvel movie is not starting.
That's crazy.
Summer. It's nuts.
Wow.
So as a result, I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, this summer is filled with original concepts and stuff like that. But, you know, the summer this year, starting with The Fall Guy, which is technically based on a TV show. But that's not a movie that anyone is like, oh, yeah, The Fall Guy on the big screen. You know, This is kind of basically an original action comedy. And so you're kind of getting more movies for adults a little bit this summer. You're getting adult franchises in a way. You're getting The Fall Guy, which I've heard really good things about.
Yeah.
It screened at South by Southwest. For some odd reason, I keep adding an additional South by to that festival's name.
It's very far Southwest, yeah.
It's South by South by South by, yeah. And so you've got a new Planet of the Apes movie, which the recent ones have all been really good. That's been a really consistently interesting franchise. You've got a new Mad Max movie, Furiosa.
I can't wait for that.
I mean, when you make, I don't think it looks as good as Fury Road, but that also describes 99.999% of movies made in the last you know, 20 years. You've got movies like that. You've got, you know, horror movies. You've got Inside Out 2, which, yes, it's a sequel, but it's a sequel to one of Pixar's kind of kookier movies. You've got The Bike Riders and Janet Planet. You've got a Western from Kevin Costner, and not just one, but two Westerns from Kevin Costner. So it's kind of an interesting summer where, you know, if you're running a movie theater, you're a little stressed because there's not a lot of, you know, obvious billion-dollar grocers. There's not a lot of weekends that you point to and you're like, we're going to make all the money we need on this weekend. You know, Deadpool is going to do well, I'm sure. I'm sure Inside Out 2 is going to do well. It's a Pixar movie. Kids' movies are doing well these days because they're not, frankly, releasing enough of them. So it's this interesting summer, but if you run these theaters, you're a little bit like, can I trust that Furiosa is going to be a hit? Can I trust that people are going to show up for If? That new kids movie with Ryan Reynolds and John Krasinski, it's got question marks, but that's exciting. Like, what was the most exciting part of last year? Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Right.
And those were huge question marks going into the summer.
It's funny. It's a TV show. I was always skeptical of the TV shows like Heart to Heart, where like regular people get involved in a caper every week. It just doesn't happen. Like, it's like Seinfeld when George says you own an antique store and people come in, you get involved in their lives and you help them out of a jam. The movie looks really cool. Have you seen it by any chance? Or
I haven't yet. Okay. They don't screen much in Wisconsin anymore.
Okay.
But like I said, screened at some festivals. All the critics are really into it.
Yeah.
I think it's just you have two stars who can make chemistry with blank walls. Like Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling are two of our most charismatic movie stars. They can make, they are instant fire starters on screen. They are so good at sharing the screen with their co-stars. And then you have a director in David Leitch, who I haven't loved a lot of his post-John Wick stuff, but he was also a co-director on John Wick, one of the most influential and entertaining action movies of the past decade. So that buys you a lot of freedom. And the action in a lot of his movies on his own have all been really good. Like, I don't love Bullet Train. I don't love his Deadpool movie. I think Atomic Blonde was him as well. Mm. But the action is pretty peerless. The action is nothing to complain about. So if you've got two super charismatic stars and a really good action director, I think we might be playing with gas here.
You talk about action. I was reading about Furiosa, and I thought the first Mad Max was an absolute spectacle. It was so cool.
First Mad Max or the Fury Road?
Fury Road, sorry. Yeah. And this one, I like the first one too, but Fury Road was incredible. This one, I guess they had 78 stuntmen and spent like 3 months shooting one scene, one action scene. I mean, I can't wait to see what that looks like, you know.
And that's comparatively easy compared to how much work went into Fury Road. People don't realize it took like 15 years to make Fury Road happen.
Oh, man.
And everyone on that set hated one another. Amazingly. No, it's true. Like, you read the stuff and like Charlize Theron hated Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy hated George Miller, the director. George Miller hated Tom Hardy in return. Everyone hated each other on that set. And they were all convinced they had made the worst movie of all time. And then it took, I think, like 3 years to edit that movie. And then you watch it and you're like, well, that makes sense because it's the most edited movie of all time. You look at all of the speeding and all of the way they chop up those action scenes, and it's genius and it's brilliant. And it's going to be hard to match Fury Road. I think that's the hard thing right now is how do you match maybe one of the best action movies ever made?
Yeah, totally.
But I'm more than willing to pay my money and sit in the seat and see George Miller try.
Absolutely. Hey, we got about 30 seconds, Matt. I know you're a big Top Chef fan. Luke has been watching Top Chef. What are your thoughts, very briefly, if you would?
Never do chaos-themed episode again. That was the worst episode of the show ever. No one knew what the challenge was.
He's laughing.
They've done that before, though, where they do this like concept and nobody really picks up on it, and then somebody's just the sucker that gets sent home.
Even the host, even Kristen Kish, was like multiple times on the episode being like, I don't know what you're supposed to be doing. And when they were at judges' table and they were like, maybe the simplicity is the chaos, I almost broke the TV. I was almost like, this is the worst.
Yeah, that was bad to like think about it, but like there was one, I think it was Seven Deadly Sins, and there was somebody that just like went with it and they won because nobody else knew what to do, so they just ran with it on a different season, and that sometimes happens.
I should have opened with this. Tempers are flaring. Matt, thank you so much, buddy. Always appreciate it.
I'll just have to come back and talk more Top Chef.
We'll do that, absolutely. That's Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com. Check out his stuff. It's excellent. Coming up next, Melissa Kay. This is Nightlight with Peach Wobble live from Madison tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Trump is back in court. I feel better about that. And he's coming to Waukesha on Wednesday. Tune in, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
The morning show on WFHR, it's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people, yeah.
And on good squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the way it's got
to
be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be, the middle especially for her had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, one very big thing you just missed there. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
yeah, she did,
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.